We're back on KCRW's Good Food. I'm Evan Kleiman. Many of you know Carlos Salgado as the chef owner of Taco Maria in Orange County and the winner of our tortilla tournament this year. In 2014, I spoke with him about the culinary side of Dia de los Muertos, including sugar skulls, pan de muertos, and candied pumpkin. I wanted to play it for you again. Thank you so much for bringing me this beautiful bread. Why don't we start with you describing it?
Sure. I've made for you a traditional pan de muertos. It's a fairly typical Mexican sweet pastry, you know, to signify the spirits of the dead, their favorite foods. In true traditional form, it's made with unrefined sugar, orange zest. In place of the anise, I have a little bit of chamomile, which I like, with orange water. And then, of course, something had to die to make it, so we used a little bit of lard rather than just butter. And
is that true? Something had to die to make it?
No, I don't know, but it seemed appropriate.
I love that. And then the top is decorated with sort of a very metaphorical interpretation of bones.
Indeed.
Would this be eaten by people, or is it placed on an altar as an offering?
Well, both. Of course, you know, any Mexican celebration is going to involve some kind of sweet bread, eating far too much of it, you know, sugar-crusted doughs of every shape and color. And so it is something that would take the place of maybe the typical pan dulce with coffee in the morning, these skeletal buns.
Skeletal buns. It smells so good, I have to tell you. So what are the foods that you grew up with?
This time of year, starting pretty much at the beginning of October and going through January, it'll be one big tamale party. So we've already started our family's production, and we'll probably, and not just because we're a restaurant family, but because we are a big Mexican family, we'll probably produce something on the order of thousands of tamales over the course of the next few months.
That is incredible. And does that happen with like a squadron of family members gathering at specific times?
You know, in this modern day, it's not quite the sort of iconic image of the family gathered in the kitchen for a long session of making tamales. More so, it's individual families making different types and bringing them together when they gather for a celebration.
So what are you making? And are you serving any of them at Taco Maria?
We are getting ready to start our tamal season. So we're going to bring back a favorite from last year, which was our pumpkin tamal, cabocha squash or sugar pumpkin, which is really good. We basically make it with as much pumpkin and as little masa as we can, and that's very nice. We serve it with pipián verde, pumpkin seeds and green chilies and some warm spices. It's quite nice. I'm looking forward to it.
Do you make candied squash?
Yes. I've been working for months to perfect this recipe because I didn't want to let another fall season pass and not make a passable traditional, you know, Mexican candied squash, or in this case, a sweet potato, which is the camote or sweet potato is a typical dessert of my family. It's almost always cooking in the kitchen in a pot of brown sugar to be had with a glass of milk after dinner. But I've always been fixated on the more classical crystallized squash candies and sweet potato candies. In that process, a piece of squash or another starchy vegetable like a sweet potato is soaked for a long period in mineral lime to sort of nixtamalize it in a process similar to making hominy or corn for tortillas.
It's interesting because what it does with the corn is that it sort of softens it to allow it to release itself from the husk, from the little outer part of the corn. But with the squash, which is such a soft vegetable, what does it do?
Well, it seems to sort of create a shell that better takes up the sugar and forms like a nice brittle, sort of sugary exterior that yields to a soft, sweet, you know, delicious paste inside.
So it allows you to have enough firmness on the exterior to go through a candying process.
Yes.
You know, they look incredible when you see them, when you're traveling in Mexico and you see big hunks of them. Describe what they taste like.
Well, first of all, there's many of these candies as there are varieties of squash. Again, they're often made with other vegetables like the sweet potato. One of my favorites is one called biznaga, which is sort of the core of a type of cactus. And there's all sorts of wonderful lore tied up into it that I won't get into right now. But it is a very beautiful sort of crystalline white candy. On the outside is crystallized sugar shell that is overly sweet, of course. And then the inside is sort of a sweet cooked squash or starchy flavor, very warming. But that contrast of texture is really a lot of fun and is typical of that style of candy.
Okay, so you said the words sweet, brittle shell, which brings us to sugar skulls.
Yes.
Have you ever made them?
I've made sugar skulls in my past life as a pastry chef. And it's great fun and really difficult to do well, which is thankfully, you know, you can buy them at any Mexican store during the holidays.
But what is the process like? Is it a dough?
It's a sugar dough. Think of it as like hard candy, sort of bound together with egg whites. Of course, nowadays everyone will recommend dried egg whites, but it really, I think, in order to get that sort of morbid aroma off of the off of the candy skull, you really need to use fresh egg whites.
What do you mean by morbid aroma?
Oh, that sort of, you know, sulfurous decaying smell coming off of the skull, which is you know, what I remember when I think back on sugar skulls.
And are they made in a mold?
Yeah, they're made in a mold. Although, if you can hand form it, that really shows off your skill as a Mexican pastry chef.
We've been talking mostly about sweet things. Is there a savory component to the Day of the Dead season?
Well, the foods most important to the celebration of the Day of the Dead are really determined by the foods of your past loved ones. So that is the time to recall their memories with their dishes, their favorite foods. If the space in the corner of the home with the decorations and the marigolds and the photos is the physical altar, the sort of spiritual altar is those recipes that come down from past generations that are part of your family now, and that carry that special meaning. So in our family, it's my grandmother's mole. You know, we serve it at the restaurant, of course. The sweet potato candies I mentioned earlier that we have on the menu, that's from my father's family, and that's really important to us as well. And cooking the foods of your family is what's most important during this time of year.
That was Carlos Salgado talking with me in 2014 about the food traditions of Dia de los Muertos.